This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we have a unique exercise feature, music by Dwayne Starling, a short talk on bread, a devotional thought, and more.
Stay with us.
Good morning. It's November and it is a cool, crisp day here in Maryland. How's the weather where you are?
It's chilly here, but we're so excited to be here at Wake Up With Hope and happy for another day. How's your day going so far? Are you anxious for the weekend? Do you have any special plans? Write to us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes, please write to us and we enjoy reading your comments. So are you ready for a little workout today? That's right. Grab your shoes and comfortable clothes so you can join us for a short workout coming up later in the program. But first, let's begin by taking a look back at this day in history.
On November 10, 1969, Sesame Street, a pioneering TV show that would teach generations of young people the alphabet and how to count, makes its broadcast debut. Sesame Street, with its memorable theme song, "Can You Tell Me How to Get to Sesame Street," went on to become the most widely viewed children's program in the world. It has aired in more than 120 countries. Whether you have ever watched Sesame Street or not, chances are you know what it is. It's become such a household name and an icon in American culture and worldwide that most people know what it is, even if they themselves have never personally watched it.
No, we can learn a valuable and practical lessons here, friends. What do people think of when they think of Christianity? Has Jesus become a household name in your circle of influence because of you? You know, when we say we are Christians, do people remain unmoved, unchanged, because there's nothing special about Christians? Or are they immediately drawn to us because they know that we will be the ones to help them? We will be the ones to listen to them and encourage them? Do they know that there's something different about us because we follow the master healer, the master of compassion? You know, friend, ultimately the question is, are you following Jesus with all of your heart? And are people seeing Jesus in you?
Amen. Those are very good questions to ponder this morning. Well, we hope you've got your shoes and comfortable clothing on, because Go Healthy for Good's fitness coach, Colton Stollenmeyer, brings us a short exercise program right now. If you can't join in now, take some notes and save it for later.
Hey, my friends, I'm Colton, your coach, and today we're talking about core. Now, before we get moving, I want to introduce you to our friends today. Before we can't see their beautiful faces anymore, to my right, we've got Angelo. Angelo's gonna be taking you through all the options today. If you need more of a challenge today, we've got Yuna here to my left. Yuna's gonna be doing some of the more challenging versions of some of these exercises. Team, we're gonna go ahead and get straight down to the floor today. So we're gonna be on our hands and knees to start. In that hands and knees position, hands under the shoulders, knees under the hips. Can we bring those knees a little closer in, Ange? Perfect. Now, from here, we're gonna do what's called a bird dog. Why? I don't really know, but that's what it's called, and hopefully you won't forget. The opposite arm and leg are gonna extend outward. Now, the biggest thing when you're doing this is you wanna keep the belly button pulled in tight and the back nice and flat. So if we look at Yuna, Yuna's got a tiny little bit of an arch in her back, so when we switch to the other side, she's really gonna focus on pulling in that belly button and keeping that back flat. Let's go ahead and switch. So sucking in that belly button, that's much better. Because as soon as that back starts to arch, we start to lose the purpose of this workout. We really want to suck it in. And then the other thing we want to do is avoid any rotation through the hips or shoulders. Go ahead and continue moving through those, opposite, switching side to side, nice and slow. Every time you switch, try to stretch a little bit longer. Now, why do we do this movement, team? The reason we do this is to work the deepest layer of our core. Now, most of us think of our core as those abs right across the front. That's the most outer layer. Then we've got our obliques, which go this way. We've got internal obliques that go the other way. Below all of that is called your transverse abdominis. It goes across the side. That is the deepest level of core, one of the most important things we can do to prevent injury and keep our body stable. If you can start taking one arm at a time up by your ear, you know, yours is gonna be a little bit harder. Let's take one leg up at a time. So we just have three points of contact. We have to keep those hips level and stable. Angela's trying to keep those hips perfectly level. You'll find that they want to shift side to side like this. Your job is to keep them right where they are. If we were looking at you from behind, we shouldn't be able to tell anything was moving. So try and keep those, a little bit harder now, right? And if you want even more of a challenge, Yuna, can we do arm and leg at the same time? So we're going to do that bird dog, but in that push-up position. So if anybody at home needs more of a challenge, this is what we're going to do right here, that bird dog in a plank position. Is that a little bit harder?
Yeah.
Try not to fall over, okay? I was practicing this a few minutes ago and I fell over. That's why she's doing it, not me. All right, team, from there, let's come down and we're going to roll onto our backs. What we're going to do is a leg raise to hip raise now, team. So what we're going to do is work our lower core. This is more the abs, the traditional core we think of. So what you do is on your back, you're going to lift your legs up and then reach them for the ceiling, lifting your hips off the floor. That's the hip raise part. Controlled descent. Look at that form, Yuna. That's brilliant. And lowering those legs back down. Now, Ange, can we bend our knees? So we're just touching our heels to the floor. And then we keep them bent as we bring them up and then lift those hips up. So this is our option. A little bit easier to get those hips up. And of course, if those hips aren't coming up at all, that's totally fine. We can just do the leg raise portion, bringing those knees into the chest and back down slow and controlled. One key point, I should not be able to, excuse me, when you're in that leg raise portion, fit my fingers under your back. Oh, Yuna, press down into my fingers, crush them into the floor. Keep that lower back down by pulling those abs in. If you feel like it's starting to arch, you can always limit that range of motion. What that means is don't come all the way down. Stop before that back starts to arch and bring it back up, okay? Working the upper portion of our abs now. So reaching into a toe reach here. We're gonna go ahead and leave those hips down, Yuna. We're gonna just reach for our toes with our hands. Just a little crunch. Just reaching up and coming down. Slow and controlled on the way back down. See, the core's real job is stability. It's there to keep you from moving around when forces come at you. So when you push on something or something pushes on you, your core is your source of strength and stability. If it's strong, it will protect your back and it will keep your body strong. If it's weak, things will bend and break and fall apart. And we don't want any of that things, those things happening, right, guys? Not something that we want. All right, team, from here, we are gonna go into an iso crunch heel reach. We're almost done today, all right? Put those feet on the ground. Bring your head and shoulders up off the mat. Angelo's, you'll notice, is gonna put his hands behind his head to support his neck. Yuna's gonna go hardcore and skip that part. And we're gonna be bending side to side, and you can see the heel reach part with Yuna. She's gonna be reaching for one heel and then the other. She's rotating her body side to side. What she's doing is working those obliques as they go through that side bending motion. And of course, those abs are working all the time, holding that crunch. But again, that's what abs are all about. It's about that iso crunch, it's about that stability. The stronger your core is, the lower your risk of injury, the increase in your stability and balance, and reduction in pain, in particular in that lower back. When your core is active, when your glutes are active, which is really part of the core, then that lower back doesn't have to take so much strain. It's protected and supported, so that pain gets reduced just by having a stronger and fitter core. So team, remember, work your core to be more stable, be more balanced, reduce risk of injury, and reduce pain in your life. Team, you guys can take a rest. Great work today, my friends. I'm Coach Colton. Remember, more is possible for you. Commit to making small changes in your life, and we'll give you the tools you need to be healthier, happier, and fit for a purpose, your purpose.
Well, friends, we have more in store today, but we have to take a quick break. When we return, we have music by Dwayne Starling. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for staying with us.
You know, some days are better than others. Listen as Dwayne Starling sings for us, Some Days.
If you're in wonder of what's going through my mind, well, there is a bundle. Feelings trapped inside. Will I be good enough, strong enough? Will I make you believe that I can be all you'll ever need? Well, I wanna say that some days I'm gonna make you happy, and some days I'm gonna make you cry. But that don't mean I don't want to love you for the rest of my life. And some days the rain keeps falling, and some days the sun is gonna shine. So when up days come down and smiles become frowns, I'll still be here for for all time. La, la, la. Show me the picture of the man you've waited for. Am I that vision? Tell me, am I even close? 'Cause I can be good enough and strong enough and never, never let you go. But there's one thing I need you to know, and that thing is that some days I'm gonna make you happy. And some days, yeah, I'm gonna make you cry. But that don't mean I don't want to, oh, love you. It's feeling real good right now, but some days the rain keeps falling, and some days the sun is gonna shine. So when updates come down and smiles become frowns, I'll still be here for all time. Time is a gift, a gift we can share, share with each other, a gift of love, love, love. Oh, some days I'm gonna make you happy, and some days I'm gonna make you cry. But it don't mean, it don't mean that I don't want to love you for the rest of my life. And some days the rain keeps falling, and some days the sun is gonna shine. So when updates come down and smiles become frowns, I'll still be here for all time. I'll still be here for all time. I'll still be here for all time. Yeah. La, da, 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 da.
Don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And search for us on YouTube. Check out our YouTube channel and keep up with us there. Coming up, Faith for Today will share a devotional thought.
They say bread is the staff of life, and today's Doctor's Orders focuses on none other than bread.
Oh, hi, honey. Thanks for doing the shopping.
Oh, you're welcome. Is this a good kind of bread?
I don't know. What's in it? What's on the ingredient list?
Well, why does that matter?
Well, there are chemicals in our foods that I prefer not to eat.
Oh, really? Like what?
Like aspartame. It's in 6,000 items on our shelves. 200 million people eat it every day. It's a sweetener.
Oh, I love sweets. Give me some aspartame.
Well, you might not want it when you hear that some people think it causes headaches and tremors. Some people even think it causes brain tumors.
Ooh, yuck. So how do you tell if it's good or not?
Tell us what's in the bread.
Oh, well, let's see. The first ingredient is whole wheat flour.
Oh, that sounds good.
And then we have yeast, gluten, oil, honey.
Well, that all sounds great.
And then we have azo dicarbon amide. You have to be a chemist to read this one.
If God made it, eat it.
If man made it, read it.
And if you can't read it, don't eat it. Doctor's orders.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for hanging out with us this morning.
You know, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, to seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Faith for Today joins us now for today's devotional thought as we seek Christ.
In the summer of 1992, I was in Odessa, Ukraine, with three of my friends, and we were there for two reasons: to share the good news of salvation 6 nights a week, and to start an English language school during the weekdays. As a gift, I received 4 tickets to their botanical garden. We were quite disappointed when we arrived at the tall wrought iron gate and found it was locked. We shook it just to make sure. Yep, it was locked. A woman who resembled a large tree stump emerged from a meager shack a short distance inside the fence. She waddled over to the gate and eyed us suspiciously until we held up our tickets. "Oh, yes," she said in perfect British English. "Do come in." She pulled a large key ring from a pocket in her apron and opened the gate. I had been to several botanical gardens before in the United States. Most were filled with flowers, fountains, Japanese bridges, and perfectly groomed hedges. But this whole place just looked like an unkempt forest with a sidewalk winding through it. We walked about 10 paces before the guide stopped and pointed our attention to a tree on the left. She glanced at her notebook and said, "This is the North American black oak." She held a pencil over the page and asked, "What do you call this in America?" We all looked at each other and then back at her and said, "Black oak?" "Very well," she said, and made an entry into her notebook. "Black oak." A few paces later, she pointed and said, "To your right, you will see the North American yellow pine. What do you call this in America?" "Yellow pine," we guessed. We hoped we were right. "Yellow pine," she repeated slowly, and once again scribbled in her notebook. This went on for 45 minutes. It was becoming torture, so I just had to ask, "How long is this wonderful tour?" "Oh, it's a 3-hour tour," she said. "That's right, a 3-hour tour." This was inhumane. We were going to be trapped here for life. As we approached the next leafy item of interest, my friend John elbowed me and gave me his "follow my lead" look. Now, I don't remember what the woman called this plant, but I remember that John called it the Macumsa. That's right, he just made up a name. I immediately disagreed and I said, "No, that's the Kalawasai." "No way," John said, "it's the Macumsa." And we argued back and forth until John said, "Look, notice the hint of pink at the base of the white petals? Hence, it's the Macumsa." I looked at the petals and then back at him. "You're good," I said, trying to look serious. I turned to our guide and I said, "It's the Macumsa." "How do you spell Macumsa?" she asked, pencil hovering over her spiral pad. Well, we quickly got hooked on phonics and tried to spell it for her, and she bought it. Now the game was on. For over 2 hours, we renamed every tree, bush, and flower in the place. We named one the Scooby-Doo tree, and everyone from the A-team got their own shrubbery. We named plants after every item on Taco Bell's menu. We named things after our favorite TV shows and movie characters. We felt like Adam in the Garden of Eden, being able to name everything. Now, I wish you could have been there, but actually, I think the best time would have been when the next group of Americans were given a guided tour. "And over here, we have what I believe you call the Scooby-Doo tree." The what? Now, the definition that you receive greatly affects the way you share it the next time someone comes your way, doesn't it? Unfortunately, many of us, as we try to share our core beliefs, are not relaying accurate definitions of some of the basics of Christianity. The friends we share with try to buy our explanations, but it sure does sound like a Scooby-Doo tree to them from time to time. Now, take our definition of sin, for instance. Most Christians would define sin as a transgression of the law, but actually, that's a Scooby-Doo tree. So what is sin? The best thing we can do is to take a look at how Christ defined sin while he walked on this planet. Right after his baptism, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So, what did he tempt Jesus to do? Let's take a look in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." That was it. So is changing rocks to rolls a sin? Some people say that rock and roll is a sin, but I've never heard them talk about rocks to rolls. Jesus answered, It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus quotes a passage. He doesn't retort with an original zinger that he just came up with to burn the devil. He answers with, it is written. We only understand his response when we look at the context of what he's quoting. If your Bible has margin notes, you can see that he quotes this statement from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Who was this original audience? The Israelites. What were they being asked to do? To trust God, 100%. The Israelites had to trust God for manna from heaven. Jesus had to do the same. His answer to Satan was that he would trust God 100% and not make his own decisions. Now, the second temptation from the surface seems different. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Here, even Satan tries quoting scripture. He's quoting Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. Now, you and I know that there's nothing tempting about jumping off a tall building, but Satan is twisting scripture to try to get Jesus to sin. What is the sin? Well, at that time, a legend circulated that the Messiah was going to float right down into the temple square. Satan is saying, hey, look, Jesus, you're going about this Messiah thing all wrong. If the angels won't even let you stub your toe on a rock, it will appear that you have indeed floated down into the temple square, and then, ta-da, they'll recognize you. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. He once again quotes Deuteronomy. This time it's from chapter 6, verses 16. What is the original context? You guessed it. Trust God 100%. Now comes the third temptation. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Satan finally gets as direct as he can. Not one king out of all the kingdoms of the world let God be a part of their decision-making process. Like puppets, the devil controlled them all. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus quotes a passage from Deuteronomy 6, verse 13, this time, which is just three verses prior to his previous quotation. So, of course, the context is exactly the same. Trust God 100% with your life. If we were to stop right here and define sin, it would be easy. Sin is the act of not trusting God 100% with your life. So today, trust God 100% with your life, and you will wake up with hope.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Roy, for sharing that thoughtful message.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. If you would like to learn more about us or share us with friends, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget, tomorrow, same time, same place, we'll be right here looking for you. Ronnie Mills will be back with an exciting segment. We'll have a special morning devotion by Pastor Mark Finley and a little talk on the bridge of life. You don't want to miss it. And if you enjoyed our devotional thought today, please visit hope.study for your free Bible study guides.
It's now time for our daily Bible promise. Today's Bible promise says, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalms 121, verses 7 and 8. Need I say more?
No, I think that about covers it for
what
today,
a promise,
doesn't it?
What a promise.
Friends, we enjoyed our time together with you this morning, and we can't wait to see you tomorrow.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, today, Lord, we are very encouraged and we thank you. Thank you so much for the living word that spoke to our hearts today and filled us with hope. And now, Lord, as we are wide awake with hope, we want to pray that you would keep us with hope, that you would guard our hearts and keep our eyes fixed on you today. Thank you, Father, for being so good. In Jesus' name, amen.